Thank you. Morning, everyone. Good to see you. So today we're carrying on with episode 3 of God's plan of salvation and blessing through the life of Joseph. Now, the life of Joseph has a lot of drama in. It's almost like a soap opera, isn't it? There's disasters right, left and centre. But through it all, as we are in the advantaged position of looking back, we can see God's plan unfolding through it all. So let's just recap where we are in the story. I've called it East Nilers. So episode 1 we had a couple of weeks ago. Remember, we had the disunity in the family due to Jacob's favouritism. We had Joseph's dreams where God showed him that people would bow down to him in the future. The dislike then of the brothers, the dodgy dealings with the Ishmaelites, the disposal of Joseph to the distant destination of Egypt. Episode 2 we had last week, Marion brought to us, the deal with Potiphar, Joseph becoming a slave, and very quickly Potiphar recognising his integrity and his gifting and putting him in charge, delegating everything to him, the unwanted desire, Potiphar's wife. But Joseph's dependability in resisting temptation. But sadly, obviously, Potiphar had to go with his wife's side, and Joseph was thrown into jail, into the dungeon, where once again, his gifts are recognised, and the jailer delegates everything to him. So that's where we're starting the beginning of episode 3. Now, it's easy to remember episode 3 just in 3 words, really. We've got the dungeon, dreams, and delay. Or if you prefer it another way, Joseph's circumstances, his gifts, and his perseverance. Now, God had big plans for Joseph, but the level of responsibility that he would eventually have required significant amounts of training and maturity. And you'll remember from last week, he spent probably nearly 10 years or so working in Potiphar's house, developing his gifting in organisation, running the estate, managing money and staff. And Joseph had chosen not to live in the past, not to be bitter, to forgive and to move on and to allow God's blessing to not only affect him, but also to release it on everything that Potiphar had. Again, in prison, his gifting, his integrity were very quickly recognised, and he was delegated responsibility. But the situation there was very different. The resources would have been quite scarce. Maybe some creative management was needed to maximise them. The other prisoners probably weren't like the well-fed and well-behaved servants of Potiphar. They were probably a bit of a motley crew. Some of them would have been depressed. And you remember, that's how Joseph picked up about the cupbearer and the baker's dreams, because they were looking depressed and dejected, and Joseph cared and asked, "Are you okay? What's going on? Why are you looking so sad?" Some of the prisoners were perhaps angry or even violent, but Joseph somehow cared for them all and attended to their needs. And in retrospect, we can see that this was an incredibly useful training, preparing for his final role when food would be very scarce and when desperate and hungry people would be coming to him and he was having to distribute the food. In Genesis 49, Jacob blesses all his sons, and this is what he says about Joseph. "A fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over the wall." Joseph didn't just survive in prison, he was able to thrive because he was drawing on the living water of God's blessing, God's resources. And not only that, God's blessing overflowed through him to others, like the vine climbing over the wall. I wonder, what's our attitude towards prisoners? There's been lots in the media recently about UK prisons. We hear that they're overcrowded, understaffed, rife with bullying, violence and drugs. But there will be people there who've been falsely convicted of crimes, like Joseph. A large percentage of prisoners have mental health problems, with high levels of self-harm and even suicide. Many prisoners can't read and haven't had the life chances and family support that most of us have enjoyed. It all sounds quite bleak. But God is working in our prisons through his people. Alpha courses are often oversubscribed, and those who find Christ have had their lives completely turned around. And at the end, we're going to hear a testimony of one such person. There are Christian staff and visitors. And there's also prison chaplains. I don't know if you were here a few weeks ago, John was talking about chaplaincy and challenging us to consider whether we might like to get involved, either volunteering or even training to be a chaplain. And I wonder if maybe there's someone here who God might be calling to do that job in a prison. In the parable of the sheep and the goats that Jesus told in Matthew 25, Jesus describes the actions of those who really know him as people who help the hungry, the sick, the homeless, and also visit those in prison. He described his own ministry in Luke 4, saying, "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." Galatians 3 says, "But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe." In other words, freedom, forgiveness, and eternal life. So visiting and releasing prisoners could apply in a physical way or also in a spiritual way. Perhaps it could apply to the housebound or those imprisoned by persecution or abuse or addictions or fear. What about all our brothers and sisters in other countries who are imprisoned for their faith? How can we visit them? Well, the organisation Open Doors produces a lot of prayer resources, so we could pray for them for a start. We could sign petitions, even write letters to them. So take some time this week to ask God how you can visit prisoners and use what God's blessed you with to bring them comfort and hope and release. Despite his difficult circumstances, which he didn't choose, Joseph was able to use his organisational and personal gifts that God had given him to serve others. And he was also called upon by God to use his gift of interpreting dreams. So let's think a bit about dreams. What do you dream about? Maybe one of those. Maybe a holiday there. When I was a child, I used to have recurrent scary dreams about these. Last night, I actually had a dream that I was giving this talk, and the congregation started throwing eggs and rotten tomatoes at me. No, that was a joke. I didn't really dream that. We all dream during our sleep, even if we don't remember it. And there's quite a lot of new evidence out about dreams and how important they are for nursing our emotional and mental health and for our memory and for creativity and problem solving. Apparently in 1869, the scientist Mendeleev was trying to work out how the chemical elements fitted together in a sort of logical sequence, and he just couldn't work it out. And he went to sleep and he actually dreamed the periodic table. Paul McCartney and Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones, they dream tunes of some famous songs which you would all recognise. And there's many examples in the Bible of God speaking to people through probably more special dreams, which often predicted the future. We already know that God had given Joseph dreams about his own future, but he'd also given Joseph the gift of interpreting dreams that he gave to other people. But I don't know if you notice in our reading, Joseph always gave God the credit for the interpretation. He never used his gift to gain popularity for himself. And also, he wasn't afraid to give hard truths, as in the case of the poor baker in the story. God's carried on using dreams and visions. When the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, Peter, in Acts 2, described what was happening as a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men and women will see visions. Your old men and women will dream dreams. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Visions and dreams are still used by God. They're still used to advance his kingdom. Many people in the Muslim world who often don't have access to the Bible are meeting Jesus in dreams and coming to faith in him. This man is saying, once when I was learning the Quran, I actually dreamed and met with Jesus himself. There's quite a lot of books about if you want to read more testimonies. I brought a couple with me and you're welcome to borrow them. Now, of course, dreams must be tested against God's word. Jeremiah 23 says, the Lord declares, I am against those who prophesy false dreams. They tell them and lead my people astray. So all dreams have to be tested, but God is still using them. God might give you a dream. He might ask you to interpret a dream. Now, we may not all have the gift of interpreting dreams, but Romans 12 reminds us that we all have different gifts. And the gifts are there to serve others, and we're called to use them in a humble way and in a loving way. And if we do that, then God's blessing, like Joseph, will flow through us to other people. Have you thought recently about what gifts God's given to you? How are you using them at the moment? How could you use them in the future? Is God calling you to a new thing? Maybe ask someone to pray with you after the service if that's the case. So, we've looked at dungeon, we've looked at dreams. What's our last word? The delay. So here's Joseph, serving his socks off in prison, called on to interpret special dreams and hoping that the butler's testimony about him will see justice done and his release. Then God's promises will come to pass. But then what happens? The butler forgets about him for 2 years. We can only imagine what those 2 years were like for Joseph. No doubt he carried on faithfully serving the other prisoners, but maybe in times of reflection he had difficult days, days of questions, dashed hopes, confusion that the promises of God weren't being fulfilled, and yet somehow clinging on to them in hope. Psalm 105 says of Joseph, they bruised his feet with shackles, his neck was put in irons, till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. Perhaps we feel like that sometimes, waiting and waiting to see our prayers answered, but not seeing things changing. The butler may have forgotten Joseph, but God certainly never forgot him. Neither did he forget the prisoners that Joseph was serving, and he doesn't forget prisoners today. And he certainly will never, ever forget you. So we'll just finish with two verses. James chapter 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And a final verse which sort of sums up this week's episode. Do not throw away your confidence in God. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. We're going to watch the testimony now of someone called Sean Taylor, who was in prison. And this is the clip. Thank you.
I belong to the wrong crowd, and I started to wear pinch cars, burglar houses. They become known, me and my friends become known as very high profile things, really. I used to carry big knives, the big knives, the small knives on my waist, and I was the kind of person where if you pulled a knife out, I would use it. I ended up stabbing someone in the head. I ended up stabbing someone, dismissing his heart, and pulling through the top of his shoulder, top of his chest and his shoulder with. He dropped to the floor, and so I was on the run for two attempted murders. And then I was just, when I went to prison, I had such a hatred for the system, and I couldn't handle being told what to do, couldn't handle prison officers mucking me about. When I went out of association, I got a prison officer and I stabbed him. And then this led to me going into maximum security prisons, being put on CSC. Where they feed you through a hatch in the door. There's no physical contact, so they have to have riot shields and riot gear on. And that was my life for a long, long time, basically. And I just was going from prison to prison, prison to prison. But then I ended up going to Long Larton, Worcestershire. And when I was in there, I ended up going in an off course. I never heard of an off course, didn't know anything. I just remember walking in, because it sent me down and sat down on a chair. And I thought, oh no, it's a Christian thing. And we'd just go there every week and I would argue. And the pastor, I remember he come to me. He said, right, I'm going to say a few scriptures first before we pray. And one of them was, no one's righteous, not one. We all fall short of the glory of God. And then he said the verse about Jesus and explained a bit why he died on the cross for sinners and stuff. And then he said, pray. So I started praying, and I said, God, if you're real, come into my life, because I hate who I am. Nothing happened. But then, as I was talking to the pastor, I started to feel this energy feeling in my stomach. And it started to raise up and raise up and raise up and raise up. And I just broke out in uncontrollable tears. And I just stopped, and I just, because that was a change in my whole life. I knew God was real, and no one will change that now. And then I remember running on the wing, people clearly knew that I had become a Christian. So I actually helped them on another two alpha courses. And then I got released. I've been in the prison where I, because you would have thought that the prison where I stopped the prison officers would have been the last prison to have me. But they were the first. That's how God works. The best thing for me is going in prisons and helping the lads in prison and trying to tell them about God. I've got four kids and now my wife. And what upsets me is because now I'm that back then, if I had the kids, they wouldn't have had a good upbringing. And now they sit on the night and have Bible studies with the dad. A Bible study with the dad. Have a life. They're beautiful. And my life, this probably is my wife and my kids, are the best gift, apart from the grace God's given me, is the best gift that I've ever. You'll ever give me.
Didn't expect to cry like that.
We're covered now.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful and inspiring story about Joseph, and how you bless people through him, even in prison. Thank you that you can reach people today in every situation if your people are obedient to your call. Thank you that you never forget us when we're in a difficult situation. Please help us to thrive like fruitful vines, drawing on your blessing and using the gifts you've given us to bring good news to others and release to the prisoners. Help us to persevere joyfully as we trust in your great promises. Amen.